My guest at this time is Dave Workman of the Second Amendment Foundation. He is also senior editor of thegunmag.com and Liberty Park Press. We want to get his reaction to the aggressive push for knife control now in London after dozens of stabbing deaths there so far this year, and the impact such a push could have on our own gun debate here in the United States. And Dave, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure. It's an interesting subject because I think what it proves is that gun control simply doesn't work. The bad guys are always going to find something to inflict pain on the good guys. And in London, where they have strict gun control, they've just opted for knives.
Well, let's look at this push now to take away people's knives. There's an online campaign, social media campaign called Knife Free. There's PSAs out there with teenagers essentially saying, I've got this dream for my life, and because I want to fulfill this dream, I don't carry a knife anymore. The London mayor, Sadiq Khan, tweeted, quote, no excuses. There is never a reason to carry a knife. Anyone who does will be caught, and they will feel the full force of the law, unquote. We're also seeing police take away people's scissors, pliers, screwdrivers, gardening tools, and other sharp implements, and now home delivery of knives is believed to be banned. The UK is often, as you said, touted by gun control advocates as being a model for what a society can look like when guns are heavily restricted. So what do we make of this being their proposed solution?
Well, the mayor of London is acting kind of silly, frankly, because bad guys who use knives to commit crimes are not going to turn those knives in. It's just that simple. Just like bad guys aren't going to turn their guns in at one of these gun buyback programs. It's just not going to happen. They can threaten police sweeps of people's homes or to shake them down on the street to see if they're carrying a knife, which, of course, in this country would never stack up because of the Fourth Amendment. But in Great Britain, I think this is an example of government run amok. They think they're going to solve a problem by disarming the wrong people. They've already disarmed the wrong people, taking their guns away from them, and that makes them vulnerable to knife attack. I'm dumbfounded by the dumbness of the people in London under this mayor.
We'll get to the U.S. Debate in just a moment, but I think an important sidelight to this larger debate is the individual story there is in the U.K. of a 78-year-old man who stabbed an intruder to death, and now there is this growing flower memorial in honor of the intruder across the street because people are so horrified that this homeowner actually defended himself. How did we get to the point where self-defense is looked at in horror?
Well, if I recall correctly, George Orwell, the fellow who wrote 1984, was British. That may explain a lot. But I saw a Wire story here, I don't know, about an hour and a half ago, where it said that the neighbors of this 78-year-old man, who incidentally I guess he's going to be prosecuted for murder because he defended himself,
right,
they have torn down this monument to this scumbag that he killed. The guy was a recidivist, from what I understand from published reports. And gee whiz, you commit stupid crimes, you're going to get stupid results. And he broke into the wrong man's house. We all have an inherent natural right to self-preservation. And from what I understand, this 78-year-old man was simply defending himself inside the confines of his home from this criminal. And for the Brits to even suggest that they might put him on trial for murder is just abysmal. I mean, what a miscarriage of justice.
So let's extrapolate this to our own debate that's going on. Obviously, it's intensified since Parkland now about a couple of months ago. Our Second Amendment, of course, makes our debate much different than what's playing out in the UK. But what impact do you think what is happening in London could have on our own debate? Namely, the idea, like you just said, bad guys are going to find way to be bad and harm people and perhaps kill them, regardless of the tool of violence that they use. How could that perhaps benefit your side in this debate?
Well, I think what's going to happen is that The next time a gun prohibitionist brings up the British example or the London example, he's going to get laughed right off the stage because of what's been going on there in the last couple of months. I think essentially we're boiling it right down to the question of should you bring a knife to a gunfight. And in the United States, where we've got more than 16.5 million people licensed to carry, that's a very real problem for the recidivist criminal who might want to bring a knife to pull some kind of a crime. He could very easily get shot. And in this country, that would be a justifiable homicide. I remember one time I was being interviewed by a guy on the BBC, and this was after the farmer Tony Martin had been imprisoned and then released for shooting that burglar at his house. This is several years ago, and he asked me, the host asked me, he said, you know, what do you think about this? I said, well, it sounds to me like a self-defense shooting, and what's the matter with that? And he says, well, Dave Workman, you mean to tell me that you'd murder me if I broke into your house? And I said, no, you know, around here that's not murder. It's considered more of a community service. And that was kind of the end of the interview. But, a whole different society and a whole different way of thinking. You know, at least in the United States, we still recognize that the individual citizen has the right to defend himself or herself from violent crime. In Great Britain, apparently it's not that way anymore. The criminal becomes the victim.
We're talking with Dave Workman of the Second Amendment Foundation, senior editor of thegunmag.com and Liberty Park Press. A couple minutes left here, Dave. Gun control activists, I would imagine, would likely argue that even though the knives are now a problem in London, it's still a lot fewer fatalities than what we saw, for example, in Las Vegas, where that many casualties can happen in a number of minutes as opposed to the first 3 months of the year. How would you respond to that?
Well, of course, they are correct that we saw more people killed in Las Vegas, and we saw 17 people, students and adults, killed in Parkland, Florida. But dead is dead. Whether you get stabbed to death with a knife or shot by some lunatic with a firearm who shouldn't have had it in the first place and who sent all kinds of warning signals about his intentions, I'm not sure it makes that much difference. You know, we saw, I think, in Florida, a failure of law enforcement on so many levels. Broward County knew who this guy was. They'd been to his house several times. The FBI had been tipped off to this kid who wanted to become a professional school shooter, and they did nothing. And for some reason, the National Rifle Association gets blamed for that. Somewhere along the line, there is a disconnect here where the anti-gunners, they seem to not care about the victims so much as they care about getting rid of firearms and blaming the firearms for the actions of madmen. And that in itself is just crazy. We could spend an hour talking about that.
Dave, last question, though. Obviously, the debate continues over what the Second Amendment provides for and what it may not. There has been a federal judge recently, for example, in our own country, who has decided that semi-automatic rifles like the AR-15 are not protected by the Second Amendment. So where do you think this is headed?
Well, I think that judge misread the 2008 Heller ruling drastically. I reread what the Heller ruling said. It was written by Justice Scalia. Didn't say that semi-automatics are not protected by the Second Amendment. That's really not what it said at all. But I think where this is going, it's still feeding this monster of civilian disarmament. And, you know, for the gun control people to continue claiming that nobody's coming to take your guns, nobody wants to take your guns, is just a flat-out lie. I mean, after all, retired Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens said here recently in a New York Times op-ed, it's time to repeal the Second Amendment. Now, the way I look at that, they want to take those guns. He wants to get rid of the Second Amendment. He wants to turn it into a privilege instead of the right that it really is. There's no more clear writing on the wall than that.
Dave, we'll have to call time there. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today.
My pleasure. Nice talking to you.
Thank you, sir. Dave Workman of the Second Amendment Foundation. He's also senior editor of thegunmag.com and Liberty Park Press. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.